welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. The Madison Regatta, huge spectacle of 200-mile-per-hour hydroplane boats on the Ohio River before thousands of spectators. It's this weekend. This is what the last few minutes of last year's race sounded like. But Madison is much more, of course. The annual barbecue fest, the architecture, tours, and special events. And even on a normal day, with the everyday sounds of small-town life, there is tremendous history here. We've been hitting some of our favorite locations around the state in honor of the bicentennial and as part of our hometown series, thinking of places that any of us can go to get in touch with Indiana history. And Madison, a beautifully preserved river town, is a great place to put on that list. We visited with John Stacer, President and Executive Director of Historic Madison, Inc., a nonprofit historic preservation organization.
Madison is nothing if it's not history. It's one of the great historic communities in all the United States. And I sort of liken it to Savannah and Charleston in terms of its national significance. We've got the largest National Historic Landmark District that's contiguous in the United States, about 133 blocks of historic properties, with about 1,600 of those historic properties contributing to our National Historic Landmark District.
I hadn't thought of the comparison with Savannah.
Absolutely. Well, Savannah and Charleston are both nationally known historic places, known for their historic architecture, their city design, and that sort of thing. Madison, very similar. We're a little bit later. Our city design is based on the 1787 model created by Thomas Jefferson for the Northwest Ordinance. Okay, so everything is created in square grids. So the architecture is a little bit later too. And we have some grand architecture here. The Shrewsbury Windle House behind us is one of the great historic homes in all the United States. The Lanier Mansion, a couple blocks from here, is another one of the great historic homes in all the United States. And then again, all the historic architecture that's both large and small surrounding us is unseen in many places throughout the United States.
So in this bicentennial year, there are lessons for us about Indiana, its history here.
Absolutely. Well, the state of Indiana started along the Ohio River. Okay, that the Ohio River was the main artery of transportation. And so here in Madison, which was founded in 1809, 7 years before we became a state, there was already plenty of commercial activity going on by the time the state was founded. So really the roots of the state start down here on the Ohio River and then extend northward.
As you walk through this town, you are really, I mean, there are so few river cities that have been as preserved as this.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. You know, Madison, early on in its history, up to the 1850s, was one of the major river communities in the state of Indiana. After the Civil War, with the coming of the railroads and the closing of the river during the Civil War, commerce really dropped off dramatically here along the river. So a lot of the river communities became sort of economic backwaters. And that led to the preservation, a lot of the early architecture. The people worked with what they had instead of tearing it down. There wasn't a lot of pressure to tear down old buildings and build new. They modified what they had. They built new when they could. But they kind of organically adapted what they had. And so a lot of the great architecture remained, again, like the Shrewsbury House behind us.
This seems like a beautiful place to live.
Oh, gosh, I tell you, we moved here from New York and really didn't feel like we were living in the Midwest. We felt like we moved into maybe upstate New York or New England. The community has that kind of feel. And not only the history, there's also a great vibe here in terms of arts and culture. We were recently named an arts and cultural district here in the state of Indiana. We have a fabulous art scene, fabulous music scene, very vibrant community for a city of 12 or 13,000 people in the middle of the country.
It's not unknown for people to come here and kind of fall in love with the place.
We have people who come from all over the country, fall in love with it, buy property here, and move here. It happens all the time, and it's really fabulous because those people moving in, provide a lot of energy and enthusiasm to the folks here and kind of help the scene kind of just grow and change and improve.
Your work here is not done. I mean, you're still in this community. That is the preservation and the restoration of these sites.
Right. The preservation of these historic sites here in Madison is continuous. There's always work that needs to be done. It always takes a lot longer than you expect it to, but there's a lot of learning that takes place as you're doing it. We just spent a couple hours meeting and talking about the interior rehabilitation of the house. And based upon the research that we've done, we've been able to discover the paint colors for rehabbing this house. And so we can restore the original paint colors and some of the original carpets and things like that. But this is going to be a special property. Not everybody is restoring properties for public view. And so rehabilitation of houses that doesn't meet kind of the museum standard happens all the time. And in most cases is preferred because it brings new life to old buildings and allows modern uses of historic buildings, which people just love. People are gravitating to communities like that all across the country. As a matter of fact, new communities based upon these old urban landscapes and designs are being built now and cost tons of money to get into. We've got the original stuff right here in Madison, and it's reasonably priced for people to afford and live in.
I'm amazed at how much you've raised so far for this project and what that means in terms of the community kind of rallying around this. And
absolutely.
It shows that there's support for this.
Right. The Shrewsbury Wendell House project and an associated building that we're rehabilitating to move our offices into, which would be adjacent to the home, is a $2.5 million capital campaign. And we've currently raised just under $2 million. And so we're in the last phases of raising the money. And it just shows the support, the broad range of support that we've gotten throughout the community of Madison and Jefferson County, but also from donors throughout the United States. Our largest contribution to date is from a foundation, nationally known foundation in Wisconsin, the Jeffress Family Foundation. And so people from outside the community are also recognizing the importance and significance of the work that we're doing here. And that's really gratifying.
John Stacer, President and Executive Director of Historic Madison, Inc., talking about the town, the largest contiguous National Historic Landmark district in the country.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
So we're in Madison, Indiana, which is a terrific place to visit. Beautiful, broad section of riverfront with a long park, restaurants, all kinds of shops. At one of those shops on a busy Main Street, we ran into Melissa Lee.
We bought this building in 2011, the first building here, and what we've done is we've gone in and we've created a storefront, which is a retail opportunity, and we've also updated our apartment. We have a two-level New York-style loft apartment, and we've also added a one-bedroom apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, and an efficiency.
And tell me about your store and what it is that you do.
I have a home decor unique boutique, and so I do one-of-a-kind designs. I take stuff and upcycle it and make it into something unique and practical again.
Sometimes people grow up in a town, they go away, maybe get an education, work someplace, and come back.
Yes. So I moved to Indianapolis in 1991 and worked in the financial industry and also the retail industry, and I was there for about 6 years. I lived in Speedway, Indiana, and then I moved back to Madison shortly before 9/11.
Why did you want to come back to Madison?
Well, at that time I was a single parent and I had a beautiful son, and Madison was just a great place to raise children, and I always felt safe and secure here, and so I felt like if I came back here I would have the opportunities as well as him to have an environment that allowed him to blossom.
And what is it about Madison that you like?
One of the things that I like the greatest about Madison is like everyone knows everybody and we truly are a community here. My mom worked at IKE for 37 years, which is the power plant. And so we truly do know everybody, and everyone is so friendly and so welcoming.
Tell me about this downtown.
Oh, downtown. Since I've been here pretty much most of my life, I've seen it go up and down, and it's cyclical. But right now we're on our upcycle, and one of the things that I find the most amazing about Madison downtown is how many people know about us that don't live here. In all my travels abroad and everywhere that I've been, someone always knows Madison and recognizes how beautiful of a town we have. So we must have a great thing going here because definitely we're well known.
Melissa Lee runs the Unique Boutique store on Main Street in Madison. Her mother, who helps her run the shop, is Elizabeth Lee, but goes by Cookie.
What is amazing to find out that a lot of people from bigger states have moved here or have brought houses here and they vacation here. And when I was raising the children, they play sports and I met a lot of people that way. Especially having this shop, I've met a lot of people and they will get to talking and they'll say, well, yes, I'm from California or I'm from Ohio or I'm from New York. And I brought a place and had it for 10 years and we just come down here and vacation. But I think also Madison has a lot of events. And so when they come to the regatta or they come to Riverfest or they come for the home tour, then they fall in love with Madison. And then for you know it, you're moving here. It's a safe little town and it makes you feel like family. I love it.
That's Cookie Lee, who runs a boutique in downtown Madison, Indiana, with her daughter Melissa, who grew up here and came back after leaving home for college and a career. Next to their shop is a bookstore, Village Lights, started a few years ago by Nathan Montoya.
My wife, Ann Vestuto, and I came here 8 years ago and in order to live here and open a bookstore and run a bookstore. So that's what we do. Since moving here, I've been very involved in the community and have worked with the Main Street program, with the Visitor Center. But primarily, we are here to live in a place that we want to live and enjoy living and to sell books. It was coming here was a lifestyle decision.
Nathan and Ann went to Indiana University and lived in Texas, New York, and Europe before discovering Madison, which reminded him of Europe.
It's walkable. Everything, it's compact. And there's a sense of history. There's a sense of how far back this goes. A sense of grandeur and a sense of beauty that has not been demolished. It's not been bulldozed. It's not been flattened. It's not been replaced with ugly, brutalist architecture or glass and steel or concrete. It's been here, and you have a sense of place and a sense of time. And you have the natural beauty around it. We're in a bowl here. We're surrounded by a bluff. And the historic city is down below that bluff, so we can look up and see trees all around us. We look down, and you see the river. And on the other side of the river, more trees. So it's quite beautiful. Access to beautiful places to drive or hike. The river is gorgeous here. So you have that, it sort of embraces you, the environment here. And so we felt all of that right away. And we really wanted to escape the concrete mess and traffic that Dallas has become. Not to disparage Dallas, there are wonderful things there. But it was not the lifestyle, the environment that we wanted, and this clearly was. So we decided to leave and to locate here.
How do you describe Madison to people maybe who haven't been here or haven't been here for a while?
In its heyday as an industrial center and a center for the transport of goods in and out of the state, this was a hugely important city. So you have this beautiful architecture that's been preserved. Gradually, the retail environment has grown. So now there are interesting shops, independent shops. We are not an area for chain stores. So you find unique things that are unique to our community.
Are there cases of people who've come here and that's it, I'm moving here?
What happens a lot is that people will come in and fall in love with the place and perhaps buy a little shotgun house and have a second home. We have regular customers, and they become friends now, that live in New York City, in Cincinnati, in Florida, that have a second home here, a seasonal home, and they will, and now there are some people, good friends, that live here that did live in, again, New York City. I'm thinking of a particular couple, good friends of ours, lived in New York, bought a place here, went back and forth for years, finally retired, settled here, and they are here. And so that happens a lot, that people, they'll put down some an anchor here, and then eventually just draw into it and leave their former life when they're ready.
Well, this is a charming place, but what is it? I mean, is it, do we want a Mayberry experience where we walk down the street?
Well, you've got Mayberry here, sure. We were walking from, we live in the building, by the way. We live upstairs, Ann and I do. And our associate manager, Sean, lives a block away. And so his commute is not as short as ours, but he walks a block and he's at work. So we were walking, we have a zero lot line building. So we park, we don't park on the street. We want to leave that for visitors. And so we park in a public lot about half a block away. And we were walking from there. And on the way between that lot and our store, we were coming back to the store in the morning, having gone out. We greeted four people, and by name, hi, how you doing? And so, yeah, you've got Mayberry here. It's a small community, and we know each other. We support each other. We care about each other. If somebody's having a problem, people know and are concerned. So there's a lot of community support.
Nathan Montoya, owner of Village Lights Bookstore in Madison, Indiana, talking about the town's powerful draw. This is the weekend of the Madison Regatta Hydroplane Race, but anytime, Madison is a fascinating place to visit for its history, architecture, and natural beauty.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Visiting Madison, Indiana today as part of our hometown series on special places across the state, it's interesting this Hoosier Bicentennial year to go to the places where you can still connect with Indiana history. We talked with John Staser, President and Executive Director of Historic Madison, Inc.
Talking about the Bicentennial for a moment, naturally the state would recognize the fact that its 200th birthday is here. As you think about it, we're so forward-focused. We're a digital world today. Everything's about the future and about all that sort of change. Is there a benefit to us to looking back, to consider this 200 years?
I think the benefit in looking back is really important in a democracy because it tells you where you've come from. Everything that we're doing is based on a precedent of what happened before. And so if you don't know what happened before, you're really kind of clueless as to where you are now, why you're here, and maybe where you're going. So if you have a solid grounding in where you've come from, you understand the decision-making that's gotten you to where you are now and provides a rational basis for decision-making for the future. So yeah, that reflective ability to look back on our 200 years of history, to appreciate it, to understand it, to preserve the best of it, and to build on that moving forward is absolutely critical to the future of our state, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the future of Madison. What choices does the community have now? How is the community pondering its future and where things go from here?
That's a great question. And I think John Wendell summed it up at best in Madison, past is prologue. Okay, so again, what has come in the past, we need to build on that here in Madison to move to the future. The historic district is not just for tourists. There's a large segment of the population that lives in the historic district, that works in the historic district. So there's a lot of people that actually are in these houses on a continuous basis. And the historic district is also used for recruitment of businesses that may not necessarily be in the historic area of the community, but it's been said that jobs follow people these days, and people want to live where there's a good quality of life. We have a fabulous quality of life here in Madison based in part on our history and our scenic beauty. So you put those two together and it makes a very strong, potent, attractive force.
Is this related to sort of the primacy of place movement? I mean, that this is a great example of that, right?
Absolutely. Primacy of place is key. This is not a made-up town. This is the real deal. It's not Colonial Williamsburg. It's not a recreated thing. It's a real community. Being that, we also struggle with real world problems because we have a large historic district, but we don't have a huge population to support it. So we're always working on how's the best way to support our historic district, how do we keep things moving forward. And so there's always a reach out of the community to try to draw people in that can help restore the buildings, bring new life into them, bring new businesses to town. And you'll see that as you go up and down Main Street with new businesses opening all the time.
Any of the demographic changes working in your favor? I think of boomers who are going, well, you got to live somewhere. You know, I want to live in a walkable city close to these metro areas, you know.
And that's the cool thing about Madison. Madison is essentially a walkable city. You can be from one side of the historic district to the other in about 20 minutes, half an hour at the most. We have great riverfront. There's a lot of festivals that take place in the community. There's a lot of activity that way. And again, it's the real deal. People want to live in places that are real. And in this economy, people don't have to be necessarily in a big city. They can be doing big city work here at a desk in Madison or in their apartment or in their house and commute via the internet, and maybe take a trip every now and again. And you're within an hour and a half of Louisville, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis, the Golden Triangle, we'd like to call it. An economist stated recently there's about 10 million people within a half a day's drive of Madison. And so there's a huge pool of people that we can attract into our town to help support that may not necessarily be here now. I went down to the crossroads, fell out on my knees. Down to the crossroads, fell out on my knees.
John Stacer of Historic Madison, Inc. Part of our visit to a really terrific place as part of our hometown series on Indiana Weekend. Let us know what you think, and let us know if there's a hometown you think we should visit. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks, and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend, on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.